This is Katie McCowan, and you are listening to the Best Day Ever podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Best Day Ever podcast. I'm Katie McCowan, and I'm so glad that you are here with us today. I'm excited to introduce to you the guest that we have on the show today, Miss Amy DeBruck. Now, did I say it right, Amy?
It's close enough, Katie. I'll take it.
No, you have to say it right.
It's actually Debrick, but that's all right.
Debrick.
No, that's fine. We have a lot of different pronunciations of it, but we accept all of them.
Okay, so I put my emphasis on the wrong syllable. I'm going to say it right. It's Amy Debrick.
Yeah.
Did I do it right?
Yes,
that time?
Yes.
Awesome. Oh my goodness. Thank you for that. I appreciate you saying it correctly. So let's just go back and we'll say, I'm excited to introduce to you today our guest, Amy Debrick. Amy, how are you?
Good. How are you, Katie?
I am great. And I'm so excited about what we are going to talk about today. But before we get into it, I'm going to introduce you to our listeners. Amy is a wife, mother, survivor, encourager, and believer. Those are all just great words. And we're going to come back to some of those and talk more about them. Amy is a published author. Her first book, called Embolden, was released in the spring of 2021. And she is also the host of the Life on Purpose podcast. Amy loves entertaining with family and friends. And she is a self-proclaimed beach junkie, which I think sounds, when I hear that, I think relaxed. So I don't know if that's what you mean, but it sounds very relaxing. And she's also a self-proclaimed health nut, chocolate lover, and she loves cooking, baking, attending her kids' sporting events, and getting in some weekly workouts. Amy has had articles featured in Darling Magazine, Thrive Global, Displaying Grace, For Every Mom, and Today Parenting. And this is one of my favorite things. Her faith in God is what gives her the courage to be intentional in all areas of her life. And surrendering to Jesus has changed her in a profound way, and she is grateful that she'll never be the same. I love that, Amy. And just welcome again to the Best Day Ever podcast. We're so glad you're here.
Well, thank you, Katie. I'm excited to talk to you today as well and, you know, have this conversation. I think it's always great to talk to other women and just really, because you just never know who the one person is on the other end that's listening. And so I'm always like in prayer that we're going to meet that person today.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Amy, so I mentioned that the title of your book that released in the spring of 21 is Embolden. And even on your website, when you talk about your podcast, one of the things that you say that you talk about is how everything we experience in life is an opportunity to either be emboldened or embolden others. And so I hear this word, embolden. You know, it just kind of pulled through so much of what you do. And I love the word. There's something really, it sounds like a powerful word, like a strong word, like a really just a word that brings confidence. And so it brings up all of these ideas in my mind about how a person who lives emboldened might behave. But the interesting thing is it's not a word we use a lot. I think I've said it more in the last 3 minutes than I have in the last year, right? And so I would love for you to tell me a little bit more about that word. Like, what does it mean? And how did you even come to that word?
Well, that's a great question, really, to start out. You know, for us, Embolden came about because when we were putting this book together, this journal together, you know, it was all about just growing in confidence and getting and having the courage to do something. And so we just kind of kept going through like, you know, bold and brave and all of that. And then when we really kind of researched it and looked it up, and it's even in the Bible a few times, we found embolden, and which is really just to give someone the courage or confidence to do something or behave in a certain way. And so we felt like that's it. You know, that really kind of encapsulated what the message was that we were trying to get across to the woman who picked it up.
Okay, so I want you to read that definition again. for embolden?
Sure. It's to give someone the courage and confidence to behave or do something in a certain way.
And let me ask you this, because I heard you mention that you find it in scripture, in different places. Can you give me one of those verses or some of the places where you found it in scripture? Because I do wonder if that's a word that has jumped out to us as, you know, we've read the Bible, you know, whether you're reading it through Bible studies or you have a daily reading plan. That's not just off the top of my head. I can't think of a place in scripture that I have read that verse. So I would love if you could share a reference or two where you found it.
Yeah. So let me pull up here. So Psalm 138:3, when I called you, you answered me, you emboldened me in my soul with strength. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the one that stands out for me.
Psalm 138:3. Mm-hmm. So the idea of being emboldened, as I'm listening to the definition and even the verse in Psalm 138, it is something, to me, it sounds like it is something that is received. It's not something that you go get. It's that you are emboldened, and that comes from somewhere. And I know when I was reading that, what you talk about on your podcast, that we experience, everything we experience in life is an opportunity to either be emboldened or embolden others, be the one who emboldens someone else. So I love the opportunity to embolden someone else. But in order to do that, we must first be emboldened. And even the verse that you just read from Psalm 138, we can glean from that that the psalmist was emboldened because he first cried to the Lord. That's where it started for him. The Lord emboldened him when he came to the Lord. So I want to ask you so many questions. I'm going to have to pick what I ask first. But let's do this, because on the podcast right now, we are the season that we are in is all about God's word. It's all about scripture and just the practicality in our everyday life and in God's word in our everyday life. So I would love for you to share with us either, well, I guess two parts. One, how is scripture a part of living an emboldened life? And then two, how has that looked in your life?
Mm. Well, those are both great questions. I think to live emboldened, and you're right, it's something that we receive, but I think and I don't want to start with a second question first, but I almost feel like I need to. But when you,
that's good. Go into whichever order makes sense.
Well, if you start in the place where, and I think I did, and I think a lot of people do, where you get caught up in thinking that you are emboldening yourself. You know, I'm sure you could relate to, you know, there's a lot of wordage right now with people giving self-affirmations. And I think in general, that's wonderful, obviously. But I think sometimes the lines were blurred between, you know, self-affirmations, like, you know, getting, you know, feeling confident in who you are, but also we kind of also take God out of that equation. And so it's easy to do when you get caught up in that. And so you forget sometimes that, you know, you want to see yourself as Christ sees you first. So without, I don't think intentionally behind it, I think we take him out of that picture, or, you know, at least I did at first. And then really you can't embolden somebody else if you're the only one responsible for all of that. Right. I mean, there's freedom in knowing that I don't have all of the answers, but rather that God does. And so I think, you know, wrapping your brain around that first, and getting a good understanding of how that looks, who really emboldens us first, and to be able to receive that. And quite frankly, it's not hard to be emboldened, but it does take intention. And for me, being emboldened and was being, you know, making space to be in his word every day and really understand his truths. And so, you know, it was funny because just not even an hour ago, I was listening to Lisa Bevere, who I really love and admire. And she was saying, I was just looking at one of her old, an old speech that she had had, and she was talking about in today's world and how everybody has their own truth. You know, you could have a truth, Katie, I can have a truth. Tomorrow, those truths can change. And you may have a different truth and I may have a different truth, but the reality is that doesn't actually work. And she's saying we can have a story, but the truth does not change. And the other part to that is that the truth isn't a what, which is a lot of times what we make it. The truth is a who, and we forget to ask who is actually truth. And so I think when you can kind of change and shift your perspective on focusing on who the truth is, then that's when it opens the doors to becoming emboldened. And that's when you are able to actually step out and reach out and embolden somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, and Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that, and then the Bible also says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we do have that truth that never changes. And you're so right on that. And I love how you just started there. You know, it, I do think so often as women, and I know I'm speaking from my experience, but a lot of the women that I've talked to have similar experiences where we do put it all on our shoulders. Yeah. It's all up to us to do whatever it is. And in this case, it's all up to me to live emboldened. So what do I need to do? What do I need to do? And the perspective change that you just stated that, I love what you said, that it's not hard. And I'm not going to quote you exactly, but it's not hard to live emboldened. It just requires intention. And so, you know, and again, like we keep talking about how it kind of, it goes through us and then we can be kind of that conduit to let for someone else to live emboldened. And I think we can all think of those people in our lives, whether it's our children that we want that for them, or whether it's a friend that we have been pouring into and walking alongside, and we want to embolden them. We want to be a part of helping them live emboldened. But all of that begins with us making the intentional decision to first be emboldened by the truth, which is the word of God.
Right.
And it, I just love, it sounds so obvious. It sounds like, sure, of course we would do that. But I do think, and the way that you put it was, I feel like you said something like our identity, like beginning with who Christ says that we are. And that can only come from him. And so I want to ask you, because you were, you know, explaining how you made, that was the shift that needed to happen in your life about making intentional decisions about spending time in God's word. And then you said really knowing his truth. So tell me what that looked like for you. Just some like real, you know, just practical, this is how that shift happened in my life and how I began to really understand the truth of God's word differently.
Well, I think for me, it was a long, daunting process. I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat it here. And I think the importance of not sugarcoating it is because I don't want people to also feel like, wow, well, I mean, I guess it takes intention and I'm not doing that. There's no shaming here. And that's mainly because I am no expert in that area at all. It's just something that, needs to happen, but we all fall short. It basically is what I'm saying. And for me, it took years of struggling with anxiety and, giving up the control to him to really accept his truth. You know, I think when you're somebody, and this is how I was, I always identified as a Christian. And I think when you're that person also, it's even more misleading because you think you do know the truth and you do have the truth, but if you don't do anything with it, then it's like you don't have it at all. And that's kind of how I lived for years. It's like I knew God's truth, but I still wanted to be in the driver's seat. And so I think until you're ready to relinquish that control, and for me, it was an act of surrendering to him when I received a cancer diagnosis, that's when I was willing to actually receive the truth. And that's when I was able to find peace from his promises, not through works or what I was doing or, you know, what I was eating or what I was, you know, all of that kind of stuff. Because we do live in a world where that becomes accidentally our priority. And we can see how that happens, you know, because we're living every day on earth right now. And so it's easy to make an accidental pivot and then have that become our priority as opposed to, you know, getting in God's word every day and trying to draw from him and pray about, okay, where do I go from here? And so that was really kind of what happened to me. And that's really how I started connecting the two, with actually knowing the truth and actually living in the truth.
Okay. And so how did that, you know, tell me more about that difference between knowing the truth and living the truth. And I think that that's huge. And I love how this, I mean, this is the real talk of God's word in our everyday life. It's the difference between knowing and living, and we can't live it if we're not in the word. So I love your honesty that it was a long journey for you. And I also think that's a little countercultural, because we're like, okay, but I ordered it on my phone and it should be here in 10 minutes, you know, or, you know, next day delivery or free 2-day delivery and all the things. And so it can feel like, and that's why I appreciate your transparency so much, because it can feel like this is something that we should get right overnight. And so I appreciate that from the front end, that this can just be the first day of a process that we commit, that we surrender to say, we want it to be more than just knowing the truth. We want to live the truth, which means we're going to make intentional decisions about getting in God's word. And so what were some of those intentional decisions for you? I mean, how did that weave itself into your life? And especially, you know, you mentioned, you know, the cancer diagnosis and then making the decision to come to God every day. So what did that look like? Was it first thing in the morning before you got out of bed? Was it just being really attentive to when God said, hey, you have 5 minutes, get in the word right now, instead of getting on your phone? What did that look like?
So for me, it was a long, daunting process. And that was, the reason I say that is because I don't want anyone to misunderstand my wording when I say, oh, well, it just takes an act of intention, assuming that you're not willing to do that. So I think for me, you know, I don't want anybody to misunderstand, you know, my last statement on, you know, it just takes intention to be emboldened and be in God's word, because I understand sometimes that's not easy to do. We have a lot of distractions, and I was somebody who definitely had my priorities not in the right place, which I think is fairly common. But the shift came for me really was after I received a cancer diagnosis. And up until that point, I was somebody who, I've always been a Christian. I've always identified as a Christian. And I think sometimes for people who have always identified with being a Christian, and you do know the truth, but you don't do anything with it, then it's kind of, it really just falls short in your life. And so it was really after that diagnosis that I had to finally take my hand off the wheel, you know, being in the driver's seat, and let God take over. And I think it wasn't really until that point of surrender and letting him be in control and reconciling with the fact that, you know, he does know more than me in all things. And then just, you know, adopting a new practice of going to him each day and asking for his, you know, his perspective on, you know, what I should be doing and all of this and all of that. That was really the big moment, I think, for me, where it wasn't just I knew the truth, but I was starting to live the truth, because I do think there is a difference.
I love, you know, what we're talking about isn't, it's not easy stuff. You know, you're talking about a cancer diagnosis. You're talking about tragedy when you were young, and the things that follow, hard things that are still hard. And yet God's word is still the answer. And I do, you know, sometimes think that maybe we can look around and say, well, you know, other people aren't experiencing things as difficult as me. But what you're speaking to right now, Amy, is it's really, really difficult things that ultimately God's word had the answer for. And, you know, as you've been talking, the Bible study that I wrote on Proverbs 31 called She Smiles Without Fear, one of the things that we talk about in there is the verse in 1 Corinthians that says, I will boast all the more in my weaknesses, because when I am weak, then I am strong. And one of the things that we talk about is that we don't like to necessarily admit our weakness and come to that place, which I'm hearing you describe. Essentially, that's what I'm hearing as you're talking about your journey, is getting to that place of I can't, like coming to the end of yourself. But one of the things that I write about as we consider this coming to the end of ourselves, as it relates to what the Bible says about when I am weak, then he is strong, is that when we come to the end of ourselves, it's like we come to our breaking point. But the great thing about our breaking point is that it then becomes our boasting point, because as that scripture says, I will boast all the more in my weakness, because when I am weak, he is strong. Jesus is strong in me. That's when we start to tap into his strength, when we allow ourselves to get to our breaking point, and then it becomes our boasting point in what Christ has done in us with his strength. And then back to what we've been talking about, how he has emboldened us through his strength, not because of us, but because of him. Wow. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And let's close with this, as I can't believe we've already gotten to the end of the episode, but I would just love, Amy, if you have anything to share with the woman who is considering starting that journey that you have been on. And I just, again, I appreciate so much your transparency in saying, like, I was a Christian. I knew what was true. And maybe they're going, you know what? That's exactly where I am right now. And I want to make that shift from knowing the truth to living the truth. What if there's just one thing you can say to her, what would that be?
If there would be one thing, I think it's just let God take the control. You know, I was a true control freak. And I think when you don't have a great handle on that, and you're not humble enough to recognize it and own it early on, when something comes up that's unexpected and completely significant and sometimes tragic, it can really run you over. And that would be my best advice, is to, you know, reassess that, get a handle on that now. Don't wait until, you know, you think you might need it. Be prepared now. And the only really way to do that is to surrender it all to him.
Amy, thank you so much. And I will say, as we finish, I do need to correct. I said 1 Corinthians when I was talking about the verse, and I will boast all the more of my weaknesses. That's 2 Corinthians. That verse is actually 2 Corinthians 12, 9, and 10. So when I said it and I said first, I thought, I don't think that's right. So I wanted to correct that before we...
That's all right.
Oh, forgive me, you guys. But yes, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10 that I was referring to. But Amy, thank you so much. I appreciate all that you have shared, just some great stuff. And I know, you know, it's the Best Day Ever podcast. And I know that the listeners today have heard something that can help them make a shift so that today can be their best day ever. Thanks for joining us today.